Freut mich, dass wir es alle durchgehalten haben. Langer Tag. Und das Beste kommt natürlich immer am Ende. So ist es nun mal. Danach werden wir dieses Lumia 1020 Phone verlosen, wie heute Morgen schon angekündigt. Das heißt also sitzen bleiben. Wer nicht da ist, der kriegt es auch nicht. Da ziehen wir einfach immer einen immer weiter durch, bis einer auch in der Audience ist am Ende des Tages. Und ja, ich will jetzt einfach Ben kurz ankündigen. Er ist im Kinect für das Windows-Team und ich glaube, wir haben heute ein paar ganz coole Sachen, die wir jetzt gezeigt bekommen. Ben, the stage is yours. Okay. Show us what's hot
okay,
in Kinect
great.
For Windows.
All right, thanks, Chris. So, you know, I hope your English is better than my German because I understood about one word that Christian just said and it was Lumia. So that's about all I understood in that introduction. My name is Ben Lauer, and I'm here from Seattle, actually from Redmond, Washington, and I work at Microsoft on the Kinect for Windows team. And I apologize to the people over here. I'm going to try to project my energy over there as much as I can, but I had to pick one place to do my demos, and this is where it ended up. So there are a few open seats over here. If you guys back in the corner want to make your way over here to see better, but it's up to you. And I also want to say one more thing before I start, and I realize that I'm the last thing between all of you and free beer. Okay, so I will bear that in mind, and I will try to keep this interesting and exciting and moving on, okay? So we're here to talk about Kinect for Windows. And before I talk about Kinect for Windows, I need to talk about something a little bit more fundamental to what my team is focused on, and that's something that we call NUI. Natural user interaction or natural user interfaces. Is everybody in the room kind of familiar with this term? Yeah, okay, so about half the people are and half the people aren't, or they're just really shy, I'm not sure. So NUI is this concept that we've moved away or we're moving away from mouse and keyboard being the sole input modality, and we're moving to things like voice, gesture, touch, more natural ways for us to interact with computers. And Kinect is squarely in the middle of this evolution that we're undergoing right now. So this is a timeline, starts back a little bit more than 30 years ago with the DOS command line interface. And I know as developers, we still break into the command prompt PowerShell from time to time, oftentimes for a lot of us, and it's still very productive. But if you follow this kind of progression, we've moved away from just purely text and keyboard, again, to things like Kinect or touch, you know, really starting to take off in 2010, and then there's more things kind of coming beyond. So there's another concept here, and that is multimodality. And so there's this principal researcher at Microsoft named Bill Buxton. And if you've ever seen him talk, he's an amazing speaker, has really amazing ideas. And he says that every form of input is best at something and worst at something else. So if you can imagine taking your keyboard and trying to talk into it, it's not going to work, right? It's not made for that. It's horrible for voice. So each of these different modalities is great at something. And at Microsoft and on the Kinect team, we actually see all of these things coming together, and we see a future in which more and more experiences actually are accomplished using all of these inputs or many of these different forms of input. So you can imagine there's an application, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm using the mouse and keyboard, amazing input. Maybe I touch my monitor or my laptop. But then if I'm a few feet away or a couple meters away from my desk, maybe the user interface actually changes. It knows that I'm away from that system. I can now talk. I can use my voice. I can gesture and interact. So again, we think that more and more experiences will become multimodal and use various forms of input. So what is Kinect for Windows? K for W is kind of the little thing that we like to use. I'm going to come over here now for you guys over here and give you a little bit of love, all right? So Kinect for Windows is really the eyes and ears of your PC. And with Xbox One, I don't know, has anybody here seen the commercials or demos of the new Xbox One? So quite a few people have seen that. And when we talk about Kinect for Xbox, we talk about it as the eyes and ears of the Xbox. And it allows the Xbox to be smart and to respond to things that you tell it to do or things that you gesture and have it do on your behalf. So again, we've kind of got gesture, voice, and then it can kind of see what's going on. So back in November of 2010, Microsoft shipped the Kinect for Xbox 360 as an accessory. And there are people on my team, Kinect for Windows, that are solely focused on bringing that amazing interactivity out of the living room and beyond gaming scenarios into commercial deployments, into lots of industries like healthcare, like retail, education. We have lots of different projects happening. Manufacturing is another one. So let me talk a little bit about the device, just to kind of give you guys just a little bit of the info about the device. The device itself has those three kind of weird looking eyes on there. And the one to the far left is an RGB camera. Think of this just like a webcam. Now, one of the limitations of our current V1 device is the resolution of that camera is only 640 by 480 at 30 frames a second. You can actually dial up the resolution if you want to drop down to 12 frames per second, and for some apps that's fine. But it's a you know, fairly low resolution color camera. We then have a depth emitter that puts infrared dots all over the room or the environment, and then we have a depth sensor that knows where those dots, how far apart they are, and then we can extract based on where those dots are seen in space. We know how far away points are in the room, be it a person or an object. So that's how we get our depth data back. And then there's actually four individual microphones, a microphone array inside the device that allows us to know from which direction a sound is coming. So we can actually know if this gentleman here was talking versus this gentleman here. It's what's called, the fancy term for that is audio beam forming. And so that allows us to do beam forming using the Kinect. The tilt motor actually goes away with the version 2 device that I'm going to show you guys in a few minutes. But the tilt motor in V1 is to allow the device to move up and down because it has a fairly limited field of view. And the V2 device, we've solved that. So then on the right-hand side, if you look at the bottom row, think of the sensor data as kind of the raw data coming off of the sensor. So we've got the color data that I mentioned, that RGB. We've got depth. We've got audio. We also have an infrared stream. And that's all coming off of the sensor. And then we do these things in the middle row, like skeletal tracking. Skeletal tracking uses the depth data, and then we apply these algorithms to then know if it's a person or not, and then we can actually plot 20 different joints on the body. So Kinect V1, we can see 6 people at a time, and we can give you 2 skeletons. So for 2 of those 6 people, you get full skeletal tracking. So then we also have a face tracking built in. We give you more than 80 points on the face. I'm going to show a little bit of that in a minute. We have speech, so you can actually implement your own speech grammar. And then anytime somebody says the word hello or home or whatever the grammar that you set up, anytime we detect those words, we raise events back to your application, and then your app can respond to those in kind. And then we also have gestures. Then on top of that, we have our interactions that we added in 1.7. We have Kinect Fusion, which I'm not going to demo today, just because I don't have enough time to show you guys everything. But Kinect Fusion allows you to take a Kinect, scan a person or an environment, and we create a 3D model of that that you can then use in CAD software, or you could send to a 3D printer. So you could think of a Kinect as a model acquisition tool for you to get data into your apps or to a 3D printer. And then we have a tool called Kinect Studio that allows you to record data and then play that back in using the Kinect. So that's a quick, like, high-level overview of the sensor and kind of the platform without going too deep into that. So just a quick update for any people who are kind of like more business-minded or kind of want to know about our momentum. We have over 400,000 partners and customers who are using Kinect for Windows, testing, prototyping. We have people at all stages of development. We've also had over 700,000 downloads of our SDK. Now, if you look at the timeline, again, if you look to the far left, back in November of 2010, we shipped Kinect for the Xbox, and then my team has progressed very rapidly shipping new SDK updates for Kinect for Windows. Our most recent update was our 1.8 update, came about 3 weeks ago. So let's talk a little bit about core capabilities. I've sprinkled a little bit of these in as we've been going here, but skeletal tracking, again, allows us to understand a user's precise posture or gestures. We have a partner who's focused on transportation, and people in this industry have to lift heavy objects. And so I don't know if you've heard this, but my mom always told me when I was a kid, when you pick up something heavy, you use your legs, right? You don't use your back because you'll hurt your back. So this partner is actually using Connect to train their employees to lift heavy objects properly. And again, it's because we have the skeletal joints and the angle of all of those things, and their application can apply to that. And we have other lots of other examples of that as well. Background removal is an API that we added just in our 1.8 SDK, and that allows you to essentially remove a person, just the pixels of that person, and then you can essentially do green screening without the expensive green screening equipment. And I've got a couple examples of that I'm going to show. Depth, again, we know how far away people and objects are in the room, and you can do things with that data. And then 3D scanning with Connect Fusion that I talked about, again, scanning objects and then getting that data into your app. This is a photo of a physical therapy scenario, again, where the Connect can detect the gentleman's angle of motion in his leg, and so you can envision physical therapy scenarios that would use that to give people a take-home experience so that the doctor knows that they're doing the exercises correctly. This is a scenario in retail, so the Connect is really great at detecting people. So as soon as this woman walks up to the screen, it actually changes and it says, hey, come over here. You can kind of draw people in. And then this is showing the use of our background removal API, and it's essentially putting clothes on her body so that she can kind of see what they might look like, but then it's also putting her in an environment which looks to me like some beach in Hawaii and not a cold, windy, rainy place like Dusseldorf. Right? So I think for this scenario, again, it's very aspirational, you know, when people are buying clothes and puts them in an aspirational environment. This is a quick example, a quick photo of what Connect Fusion does. And I apologize, I didn't update the photo here. In our 1.8 SDK, we added full color support for Connect Fusion. So what you're seeing here, you're seeing Alexis as she looks in real life, and then as she looks acquired through Connect Fusion prior to 1.8. Now with 1.8, you actually get all the color pixels on the 3D model, and it's a whole other level of realism. It's quite amazing to see. So let me just jump in and talk about our 1.8 SDK just a little bit more, and then I actually want to do a demo here. So I mentioned Connect Color Fusion. Unfortunately, again, I don't have time to show that today, but full color support was a really big deal in 1.8. We also, anybody in here consider yourself a web developer? All right, good. So there's a fair number of web devs in here. We've actually expanded access to Connect to the web developers of the world with 1.8. And this is something that's really exciting to me because the web is on fire, right? And anybody who's a web developer, you know that there's tons of new frameworks out there. There's things like D3JS to do amazing maps with your data and charting, and there's just tons of energy in that environment, in that community. And with 1.8, we've introduced an HTML5 JavaScript app model so you can put Connect right into your web applications and use the tooling, use the environment that you're most comfortable with. Now, I want to just kind of caveat this and say it's not built. We didn't build it for you to have a web server and deploy your app like over the internet to clients broadly. You might be able to do that, but that's not why we built it. We built it for people building kind of kiosk scenarios. So if you wanted to have a retail kiosk or a kiosk in the lobby of your office or whatever, again, using the web skills that you have today, you can then deploy it over localhost. And basically, there's a little web server component that we give you that streams the data from the Connect, and then we pass it over WebSockets to your application. So again, really exciting advancement and just broadening the reach and access to Connect. And then the background removal API, I talked about it. I'm going to do a demo of that in 1 second. I wanted to show this architecture diagram because prior to our 1.8 release, we had everything except the top two boxes in the right-hand side. So we have this native layer. So if you're a native dev using C++, we have a native API. You can do anything you want with that.
Then on top of that, we have a managed wrapper. So any .NET managed developers, you can use that. Again, anything you want to do. But there's no kind of UI components or UI frameworks for the native guys. So you're rolling your own DirectX app or using your own Win32 controls if you're going to go the native route. And then for native developers, you could use something like XNA if you wanted to do that. You can use Windows Forms. We give you a ton of WPF controls. We have a whole bunch of sample applications with full source code that you can take and start using in your apps. So we have a bunch of WPF controls there. And then with the advent of the HTML5 model, we have some HTML, JavaScript, and CSS components that, again, make it easy for you to drop those in and start using them in your app. So with that, I'm going to jump to a sample, to a demo here. And I'm going to switch over to number one. OK, so what we're looking at here is our developer toolkit. Just kind of as a reference, this is a free download for anybody who wants it. Again, tons of source code, sample apps that you can start using. But what I'm going to do is go ahead and pull up this background removal sample. So again, we're kind of in this, I guess, being from Seattle, my team really likes nice, warm places, you know, where we can escape the rain. So again, this is using just our V1 Connect sensor that you can go buy today. And you can see here, there's definitely some webbing in places, and it just kind of depends on the lighting. These bright lights aren't always a great place. But you can see now how we removed the background for me and put me into this environment. I mean, this could be any environment that you would want. We have partners who are exploring new ways to do online communications over things like Link or whatever, where you can kind of put the person in the environment. So again, quick demo of the background removal API. Thank you. Okay, so that's kind of a quick run through the new stuff in 1.8. And again, I'm sorry I don't have enough time to kind of show you guys everything today. But again, you can go download it today, freely available, and you can start using that. So I do have an exciting announcement to make. And so this is something that's just happening today. I think back in Redmond here in about the next 15 minutes or so, this is going to go live on the internet. So it's something that Microsoft Open Technologies is a separate company from Microsoft, and they help the other teams at Microsoft work closely with the open source community. So MS Open Tech is all about open source. So the Connect Common Bridge is a dead simple Connect. It's not really an API. It's a wrapper on top of our native API, and it makes it dead easy to bring Connect into third-party libraries and frameworks like Cinder or like Open Frameworks, or there's tons of others that we hope to be working with very soon. But this was a close collaboration between Microsoft Open Tech and the Cinder and Open Frameworks communities. Those communities came to us at Microsoft and they said, hey, we've got a lot of people in our environment, in our communities, who want to use Connect. Connect is an amazing tool, but it's difficult. Your native APIs that you've given us, they're really great. We can do everything we want, but they're not simple enough for us to use. They don't fit the app model that we use in our community. And so we started working with them. It's fully open source. It's on an Apache 2.0 license. Now, this is a wrapper, so it requires our native SDK. So you download the SDK, you got to have that installed, and then this wrapper sits on top of it. And again, it's launching today. That's the URL for the blog. The blog points to the code on GitHub. There's also the add-on from OF, and then there's the Cinder block from the Cinder community. But I think more than just kind of talk about this, I actually want to do some demos of this stuff here. Is anybody here familiar with Open Frameworks or Cinder? Not really. OK, I think this is what's called a creative coding community. So if you think about blending technology with like graphics, art, those types of things. And I have a video, like a quick video I'll show you in a few minutes that you can kind of get a sense of what this is about. So let me start this up. Okay, so this is nothing too revolutionary, except to show that this is actually Cinder, and Cinder is getting all of the data here from the Kinect. So Cinder's actually mapping the skeletal joints here, you know, my feet, my legs, my hands, everything. And if I get down here a little closer, you can see there that we're actually putting the face mesh on here. So as I move my mouth, the Kinect is tracking that and, again, raising that data to my application so we could do fun things with that if we wanted to roll our own face recognition or something crazy. So that's just a quick little sample to show that it's the data's into Cinder. This one's a little bit more interactive. This is Open Frameworks now. App takes a second to start up here. So this one's called Fireflies. And this is just kind of a fun thing where actually we're now starting to do something with particles. And we're starting to do something with shaders using the GPU. So essentially, we're just putting the red particles on my right hand, the blue particles on my left hand, and then the green ones on my head. And if I combine, they'll kind of start to make a new color, right? And then if I put them all together, then they kind of all go white, right? So again, just a simple little example, but you can see now the power of being able to tap into a library like Open Frameworks, which makes this kinds of graphical fun things really easy to do. Okay, so I got a couple more. So this one is another Cinder one here. And this one is called, I forget what we're calling this one, something particles. This one kind of makes me feel like I'm on fire. And this again is really fun GPU particles using the depth data from the Kinect. And then as I move around, you can see it kind of gets all crazy, and then it'll kind of settle back in. I can get closer. And again, this is just kind of something fun to play with, but you could start thinking about bringing these into maybe other applications that you're doing and tapping into things like these communities. And then the last one I'll show here is the last one's from Open Frameworks. And this one, if you imagine, the window's not so great, but if you imagine this one would be like Poltergeist, if anybody knows that old movie, we're kind of trapped in the TV. So all we're doing here is we're using the Kinect's infrared data, and then we're doing some fun particle stuff in OF, in Open Frameworks. So if I get closer to the Kinect, you might be able to see, like, I'm trapped, help me. Help me, right? So, you know, it's just some fun stuff, right? To, again, start blending these things together. All right, so that's the Kinect Common Bridge. Again, brand new, comes out today. I'm excited about it. Now, here's a video. This is all Open Frameworks, and you can think, this is the power of the Open Frameworks community that you can see here. So not all of those projects used Kinect, but a number of them did. And we're now making it easier for Open Frameworks and Cinder developers and other graphics library developers to use Kinect. And again, I think we're making it easier now for people who aren't familiar with those worlds to start bringing that into what they're doing. So again, Kinect Common Bridge, really excited about that. So I think I've got, how much time do I have left here? About 15 minutes, right? It's about quarter to beer time. Okay, so I think that gives me enough time to show you guys a little bit about the next version of Kinect. And so we've been showing this off ever since back, I think it was May 21st, when we started demoing and showing the Xbox One publicly. Back in June 25th-ish, at Build. Was anybody here at the Build conference in San Francisco? Anybody? One person? Two, three, four people? Okay, great. So for the four of you over here, this will be a little bit of a review, so I apologize. But back at Build, we actually brought the Kinect for Xbox One. We brought an Xbox One, and we showed off the amazing improvements that we've made in the Kinect sensor. And so that's what I want to show you guys today. So very like high level, 50,000 foot view level of the new sensor. Unlike 640 by 480 color in V1, we now have full HD 1080p color at 30 frames a second. So the color is vastly improved. We have better infrared in depth. We've actually increased the fidelity on the depth by 3 times. So you'll see this in a second. And we've added 5 joints to the skeleton. And I'll talk about that more in a second. So even though the Xbox is shipping this November, the Kinect for Xbox, or sorry, the Kinect for Windows is going to ship next calendar year. We actually have to make some tweaks to the hardware. The Kinect that ships with the Xbox only plugs into the Xbox. We have to make a version that's USB 3. But we have a developer preview program that we announced at Build that we've accepted people into, and that's going to launch in November. So a lot of our Kinect developers out there will be able to start using the new technology. So let me get a little bit more into the specific improvements in the sensor before I do my demos here. So the wider field of view. I mentioned with the V1 sensor, we have that tilt motor. Well, the field of view on the new sensor will see the entire room. And you can see 6 people easily, if not more than that. We have 3 times the depth fidelity that I mentioned a second ago, 1080p HD color. The IR technology in the new sensor is totally changed, and it runs at 30 frames per second, and the clarity in the IR is drastically improved. We have better microphones. We still have a microphone array in there, but those are improved. 25 skeletal joints. So Kinect V1, we see 6 people, but we give you skeleton tracking for 2. With V2, we see 6 people. We give you skeletons for all of them. So these much more interactive applications and games actually on the Xbox side that you're going to see as a result of this. But what we've done with the skeletal is we've added a tip of hand joint to both hands. We've added a thumb joint, and then we added a neck joint. So what that allows us to do with the hands is we can now actually see this motion. And we can track the thumbs, you know, and different things like that. So a lot more things that we can do. And then this neck joint allows us to much better see things like shoulder shrugging and actually leaning in different directions. The skeletal tracking in V2 also now works in many more scenarios. So I can turn around, I can get down on the ground and do push-ups, I can get into yoga positions, and skeletal tracking will continue to work. Thumb tracking, we talked about that. And then also we have an improved range, so you can get as close as 50 centimeters to the device and have it work, and you can get up to 4.5 meters away and have the full skeletal tracking experience. So with that, I'm gonna go ahead and bring Gunter up on stage. And let's have a round of applause for Gunter. Okay, so Gunter has no idea what he's about to be put through. Okay, actually that's not totally true. So this is an example of the new depth data. And so you can see here, if Gunter gets a little bit closer, if he opens his mouth a little bit. Sorry about this, we've got this weird kind of shadowing thing. This is like early still. So, but you can see, you can see the badge hanging down. You can see the wrinkles in his shirt. You can see all of his fingers, if he holds his fingers up. So the level of fidelity in the new depth data is quite improved. So that's that. So now let me bring up the color. So, and I can actually come over here with them, and you can start to get a sense of the field of view on this sensor. Full 1080p color. Now, if we could we bring these lights down a little bit, please? Is there a way to turn the lights down? Maybe even a little bit more up front. Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. So if you can imagine in a gaming situation especially, people like to play games in the dark. And so the color, Gunter has his flashlight turned on, the color camera is very susceptible to changes in lighting. There may be you're going to go all psycho on us, huh? So if he holds the camera or the light out here, you know, maybe there's a lamp over there. Now, I want to show you one thing I forgot to mention. Back at Build in June, we showed all of this running on an Xbox One. You guys are the first people in the world outside of Microsoft to see this running on a PC. This is actually pre-alpha running on a PC. And actually, I want to tell you, though, this is running on a Surface Pro 2. So I think this is exciting to me for a couple of reasons. One, I got a Surface Pro 2, right? Which is pretty awesome, right? But actually, what's really amazing is that we were expecting the hardware requirements to be so super high for the new SDK. Now, the Surface Pro 2 it's an amazing productivity device. It's probably the most productive device you can get for a professional. So it's got a lot of horsepower, but the fact is, this is still running on an integrated graphics chip. It's an Intel HD 4400, and it's not a dedicated GPU, and this stuff all just runs. So it's really cool that, again, it's running on, it's going to run on a wide array of hardware when we ship. So we still have the lights down. So the next thing I want to show, because I kind of got sidetracked there, is infrared. So now if you notice, and let me see if I can get these side by side here a little bit better. So the infrared, Gunter, if you can get a little bit closer, I think, for the infrared. I don't know how it looks to you guys out there. It's a little bit dark, but you can see that the infrared data is not susceptible to the changes in lighting. So the infrared data gives you a consistent view on the environment, more importantly, people in the environment. And so again, it's not susceptible like it is on the color side. So we can bring the lights back up now, please. Thank you. So next thing I want to show is the skeleton. So Gunter's going to put his phone away. And you can see as he's moving around, we've got the extra joints now on the tips of the hands and on the thumbs. So if he makes his little crab hands, as we call them, we can see that show up. But I need a couple of volunteers here. Daniel, do you want to come up? I need a couple volunteers. Anybody want to come up? Everyone's that shy or that turned off? Oh, here we got one. I need a couple more people. I just want to show you guys. Okay, here we go. So we got one more. Okay, good. So we can all maybe fit in here a little bit. We need a little bit more distance, I think, to be all seen. I didn't pray hard enough to the demo gods. All right, there we go. There's someone showing up. All right. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks. So, thanks. So, Gunter, I still need you for one more thing. So, if we had had a little bit more room here, I think we could have seen all six of us, or had I prayed harder, like I said. And then this is the last sample that I want to show, which is just this actually isn't even the code that we did with our background removal API. This is called coordinate mapping. And what we do with coordinate mapping is we're essentially saying, oh, hey, we know this is a person, this is the outline of the person, and we're just mapping that depth data to the color pixels. And so you can see here, there's a little bit of jitter. Again, this is pre-alpha stuff, but this is just one of the five samples that we've already ported over from Kinect V1 to V2, and I'm really excited. Thank you. That's what we need to see. So I'm really excited just about V2 coming out next year, about shipping this to developers in our preview program later this calendar year, and all the things that people are going to do with it. So. Switch back over to my slides. So that's basically what I had time to show you guys. And get my remote here. So if you haven't downloaded the Kinect for Windows SDK, and if it looks like something that you'd like to play around with, or if I've given you some ideas for a way to, you know, change your application up or maybe do a new application, go get our SDK. You can download it for free. Again, it comes with the toolkit, which has all those samples in there to get you started. The Kinect Common Bridge, again, releasing today. It's going to open up Kinect to all the creative coders in Cinder and Open Frameworks. And then finally, while the V2 developer preview, the application period has closed. So that was open this summer, and it's now closed. If it's something that you think would benefit you as a developer, your application, your company, we've got a couple guys here, Gunter and Daniel. They're local guys. They work for Microsoft Germany. So I've put their email addresses up here for you to contact them to see if there's some way that we could get you access to a device as part of that preview program. So again, that's my time. So thank you guys for sticking around and for listening. I will say that Christian's going to come back up, and I think you're going to give away the Nokia phone, right? Okay, and I will be, I'll be here for the beers afterwards, so if you have questions about anything that I've shown or something I didn't show or you're having a problem, please just grab me. I'd love to talk to you about Kinect. So thank you very much.
So, zwischen mir und dem Bier steht nur noch das Phone. Und wer will ziehen? Eine Dame vielleicht? Nein? Gibt's noch eine Dame? Ja. Jack, Wenke, komm, zieh mal für uns bitte. Ja, die Wenke macht das jetzt für uns. Sie wird das Phone ziehen. Ich habe da 5 Stück reingeschmissen. Sieh zu, dass du mich siehst. So, okay, einmal reingreifen. Ach so, wir wollen noch ganz gerne, kannst du noch mal deine Webseite aufrufen? Wir haben noch vom Nokia. Can you open quickly browser, please?
Sure.
So we can. So.
Schwer zu lesen, aber?
Schwer zu lesen. Stefan Schutze. Jawoll! Aber bist ja nicht ganz so zufrieden. Weiß nicht, ob man das doch mal wegschmeißen soll. Nee, also herzlichen Glückwunsch. Cooles Phone, das macht bestimmt Spaß.
Ja, ja. Freue ich mich, danke.
Alles klar, danke. Möchte ich noch ganz kurz, bevor wir beenden das Ganze, Eugen, willst du 2 Worte sagen?
A website up over here.
What we need? Ah, sign up.
We need his help.
Ah, okay. Okay, move it over. That's Windows, right? Okay.
2 Worte, 2 Sätze. Es haben ja nicht alle ein Telefon gewonnen. Es besitzen vielleicht auch nicht alle ein Telefon, die eventuell Windows Phone Applikationen entwickeln möchten. Bei Nokia Deutschland haben wir einen Live-Service eingerichtet für alle, die daran Interesse haben, Apps zu entwickeln, kostenlos. Bitte bei uns am Stand fragen, wie das genau funktioniert. Wir werden Flyer austeilen und Telefone können eben von uns geliehen werden. Damit die Applikationsentwicklung noch mehr Spaß macht und auch dann belohnt wird, gibt es in Deutschland seit letzter Woche das Programm namens Develop, D-V-L-U-P. Dort kann man sich anmelden und durch Arbeiten Applikationen sich Punkte erarbeiten, die dann gegen Preise eingetauscht werden können. Preise sind Telefone, Zubehör oder auch Promotionspakete für ihre Applikationen. Wer sich bis zum 31. Oktober anmeldet, bekommt noch extra Punkte, deswegen lohnt sich das, sich das mal anzuschauen. Weitere Fragen beantworte ich gerne bei uns am Stand oder beim Bierchen.
Ja, ich würde sagen. Danke, dass ihr alle da gewesen seid. Ich hoffe, es hat ein bisschen Spaß gemacht. Vielleicht war das eine oder andere Neue dabei. Ja, wir freuen uns jetzt noch auf ein Bier draußen. Wer Lust hat und noch nicht weg muss, wir sind auf jeden Fall noch da. Ansonsten für alle anderen eine gute Heimreise. Kommt gut nach Hause. Dankeschön.